Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. See, so what Jesus is saying here is, Jesus is saying, listen, what you're dealing with, what these guys were dealing with, what all of us are dealing with, it's all natural stuff. But see, there's three realms. There's a heavenly realm, there's an earthly realm, and there's a sub-earthly realm. Okay? Heaven, earth, below the earth. Okay? So what we do is we're born into this natural realm. Okay? The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour people? He pulls people into that sub-earthly level. Okay? What does God do? God brings blessing. Okay? There's blessing and there's a curse. The curse suppresses. It tries to take us from that natural place to that place where, you know, the natural place that, man, we get our hand cut and it heals up. That's natural. But see, what the devil wants to do is the devil wants to bring that to a place, and I guess an easy analogy to make, the place where that cut becomes infected, and he's pulling you down, he's suppressing you, where you might have to lop your hand off. Man, I met a bunch of guys down in Haiti years ago that didn't have fingers, didn't have hands, didn't have feet. What happened? Man, they got a splinter in their foot, and it got infected, and they had to lop their foot off. See, that's what the devil does to Christians. We live at this natural level, and there's this constant pull to pull us down. But what's God do? God lifts us. What does Jesus say? My words are spirit and they're life. See, so what happens is that natural level, what the words that Jesus says is, it pulls us to a supernatural level. See, what you guys just that had impossibility in your life, what just happened is that the supernatural hit your impossibility and it became possible now. So how does it become possible? It goes like this. It goes from the vine dresser to the vine to the branch to the fruit. Without the vine dresser, there's no fruit. Without the vine, there's no fruit. We're just sticks. See, so many people are living their lives not grafted into the vine, and they're just living their lives as sticks. They're not branches. But I feel like a branch. I look like a branch, but I'm just a stick. And see, that's what we want to get people off of. My words are spirit, and now listen, and they're life. Life, write this down. You ready? Life is always going to be supernatural. Man, the birth of a baby. Man, when Mike Barnes in the ICU at St. Francis Hospital came back to life, supernatural. One of them is because he hit a dump truck going 80 miles an hour on his Harley in the middle of the night. The other one is because there was conception and gestation and growth in a womb and then a birth. It's all supernatural. See, we think about Lazarus coming back from the dead. It's no different than a child being born to God. It's all supernatural. Jesus says, look, my words are spirit and they're life. See, the kingdom of God, listen to this. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. But listen, in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm a simple man. Let's break that down. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Man, up till now, the Holy Spirit has been a contentious theme in the church. It's been emotional. It's been crazy. It's been weird. But I'm telling you, he's real. And what we have to understand, what we have to look at, is that the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. See, so if I break that down a little bit, this life is inaccessible outside of the grace of God. That's it. I mean, we're saved by what? By grace, by God's power, his supernatural ability, his favor. So that grace brings us to where the kingdom now is accessible to us because of God's power, because of God's favor. Here, write this down. God's favor is indelibly on my life. God's favor. So does that mean every time that coin's in the air, it comes up heads for you? Bible says you're the head and not the tail. See, you have to understand, this isn't serendipitous. But so much of the Holy Spirit's been serendipitous. And we have to realize the whole kingdom is based upon the Holy Spirit in us, okay? And we represent another kingdom. That's the problem the world has. The world doesn't know what to do with us. And I'll tell you why. There's thousands of people in this church that through going breaking the bread of life and rightly dividing the word of faith, rightly looking at God's word, not trying to add something to the predestination of God that doesn't belong there. You know all that is? That just gives us a spine. That's the old school way to look at it. Gives us a spine not to bow at that altar of fear that the world's built for us to bow. Don't you care about people? If you cared about people, you'd bow at this. And let me tell you, I've read Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego way too many times. Oh, King, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not bowing. Our God's able. He'll deliver us from your fire. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. See, that's who we have to be. We've got to be those people that are so resolute. We're going to trust God and nothing else. We're going to listen to God and nobody else. That's how it has to be. The Bible says this, let the word of God be the truth and every man a liar. And we just purpose in our hearts, we're not bowing to fear, ever. Why? Because you know what fear is? Fear is cowardice. God hasn't given us the spirit of cowardice, but love, power, and a sound mind. See, the prophetic message that's here right now is that there's an open heaven above our lives. Write that down. There's an open heaven above my life. You think about that when you go to the grocery store. You think about that when you fill your truck up with gas. You think about that when you go to work tomorrow. You think about that when you lay your head down on your pillow tonight. You have that constant thought is, there's an open heaven above my life. An open heaven. And then you'll say, okay, why? Why? It's kind of, how did this happen? Why? It's real easy, because there's the uninterruptible connection between the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is life-changing. This will change how everyone thinks. There's an open heaven above your life because there's a connection between God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. There's a connection, hardwired. And the Holy Spirit's in us. So you say, well, why is there an open heaven above my life? Because I inhabit the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. Oh, wait a second. Can your sin break that connection between the Father and His Spirit? No. The only thing that you can do to break that connection is to deny Jesus. You deny Jesus, you grieve the Holy Spirit, you break that connection. And let me just tell you, there's no bond to sin anymore for you. You know what's going to bring you into sin? Spirit of fear. You know why? Then you won't have a sound mind. You won't stay out of sin. Man, so there's so many Christians that they live their lives and they dabble in sin and they get in the weeds and they get a rash and they come back and then often enough it's like, well, this doesn't work. You know, I don't know why, man, I tithe and I give but you lie and cheat too. So those things, sweet and bitter water doesn't come from the same well. We've got to understand that. And look, listen, there are synonyms that are translated from the same word. And those synonyms are, whom God loves, he prunes. So the word prune, and then Jesus said, you're cleansed because I've spoken my word over you. That word cleanse and that word prune are the same things. See, what God promises he's doing in our lives is God will feed us, God will water us, and God will prune us. And we're thinking that that pruning is always cutting us back. But all that pruning is, it's cleansing us to make us stronger. That's what God's going to do. God's gonna always, because let me tell you, it's like when your kid comes home, and man, and he's been playing in the mud. Man, what are you going to do? You're going to say, stop. Okay? Take your shoes off. Take your trousers off. Take your sweatshirt off. Go get in the shower. Why? You don't want him tracking that mud in your house. You know what's interesting? You check. There's a lot of societies out there where by custom, they don't wear shoes into their house. A lot of those societies, there's a lot of bad stuff in them, but most of societies don't have a very high divorce rate either. So you think, why is the divorce rate so much in America? It's because men track stuff into their house. What are you laughing at? It makes perfect sense to me. Man, we're just going to quit. And let me tell you, why is it so difficult? Why is church so difficult? Because people come in and track all their crap in. You're just tracking mud in. Somebody's here, going to clean it up. The Bible says where there are no stalls, where there are no oxen, the stalls are clean. Man, so we're in here. So what's going to happen? This is revival. What's going to happen? A bunch of oxen are going to go. It's going to be messy. Man, I'm telling you right now, you new people in here, relatively new people. What would new be? Like, you've been here longer than me, Scott. Dear God. What would new be? When were you? A year. You've been here a year? You can't make a mess we can't clean up. Write that down. See, that's the strength of this church. We know life is messy. We're here to help you clean up that mess. How? Because God promises he's going to feed us, he's going to water us, he's going to cleanse us. And it's all continuing. How often do you need to be fed? Every day. How often do you need to be watered? Every day. How long do you need to be cleaned? Every day. What happens? So what does God promise? Are you guys with me? His mercies are new every morning. Why? You need to be cleansed every day. Cleanse me of my iniquity. See, and that's where we have to get. If we live overly conscious of the issues in this world, I don't know, some of you guys might, you guys from Broken Arrow, let me explain this to you. There are issues in this world, okay? And when you become overly conscious of those issues, you'll actually imagine an enemy you don't have. And I'm telling you, I've learned that, have been a Christian for 41 years in ministry for probably 35 of them. I don't know how many years it's been, but over 30 of them, that we fight battles where there's no victory, the church. Like, we answer questions no one's asking. And it's like we're hoping the world just gets on our page without us getting on their page. And realizing where people are and what they're dealing with. And I look at this, and I think we've been fighting enemies that aren't really there, but somehow we're convinced they are, that the sky's falling, that the enemy's at the gate. Oh, they're going to... No, do you understand? We're the light of the world. See, if we're tuned into the world and all the media, our discouragement's self-inflicted. Can I tell you, I'm the pot calling the kettle black here today? I figured it out in the last 6 months. Sandy's probably come to me a dozen times, maybe more, maybe 20. And she said, hey, Bill, why are you listening to that? Well, I got to know. Well, it just makes you mad. Yeah, it's righteous dadgum indignation. I'm like, I just became an Okie. How many of you guys are with me on the righteous indignation? I ought to be mad about this. It's like, okay. But my Bible says, be angry and sin not. That means I've got to be able to discipline my anger, or I'm going to need that cleansing again over and over and over for it. But we have an incredible privilege of being light in darkness. That's who we are. That's the privilege God's given us. Somehow, God's looked upon this people right here and said, I want you on the earth during this time. somehow. We're here to serve light to darkness. We're here to drive out darkness. When Jesus rose from the dead, do you understand that those 40 days he was on this earth, he didn't reveal himself to anybody who didn't believe? Is that interesting? So who's he revealing himself to now? To us. Why? Because he's the vine. We're the branches. Why would he reveal himself to us the way he is right now? So we produce fruit. See, revival starts with believers. And I'm telling you, revival's here. And it's more than I thought could ever happen. How God has expanded areas in my life and done things in my life, doing things in this church, in my home, what God's doing in my home. Ma'am, what your expectation needs to be now, that there's going to be so much ministry. You know, there's people out there, we don't know each other very well, probably, but I like you. But there's people out there that'll say, God won't give you more than you can handle. I don't know that God. What does more than enough mean to you? More than you can handle? What does the tithe do? It opens up the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing so great you're unable to receive it. It's like, that's more than I can handle. See, that's what God does. He gives us more than we can handle. Why? Because it's our role in ministry to give ministry away. It's our role. What's the first thing Jesus did when he stepped into ministry? He got out of that water and he began to build a team. That's what we got to do. That's what we're doing right now. That's what we've done here for 20 years. We're just building a team. All the conditions are right. Oh, for this to hit beyond anything we could have ever imagined. All the conditions are right. The conditions are right, but the spark hasn't hit yet. That's what God's done these first 3 weeks of this revival. 60 days. There's people who say, man, I've never heard anybody call a 60-day revival. It's like, yeah, me neither. Why'd you do it? Well, we got a prophetic word. The prophetic words that have followed up on the prophetic word that we should do a 60-day revival are mind-blowing. Can I give you one of them? That the month of June, the healing provision of heaven is going to come upon this church where it's going to empty hospitals. I'm like, okay. The month of April, God's provision is going to come upon this church and eliminate debt. God's church doesn't have any debt. So that means yours. Conditions are right. The spark hasn't hit yet, and it's coming. Today begins a new stage of this revival right now. And God just wants us to take him at his word. Luke 5, I'm going to read 10 or 11 verses, and then we're going home. Then we're going to sing, then we're going to go home. But Luke 5, this is going to congeal what God's shown me in my heart for this revival. Do you guys have ears to hear this? So it was, as a multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake. When he was by that lake, he saw two boats that were standing by the lake. They weren't in the water, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, who became Peter, and he's becoming Peter in this story. Then he got into the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And then Jesus sat in Simon's boat and began to address the multitudes and talk to the multitudes from that boat. And when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, who became Peter here in a couple verses, he said to Simon, Launch out into the deep. Now listen to this, because don't miss this. Launch out in the deep and let down your nets. Everybody say nets. Say it again. Nets, plural. Okay? Launch out in the deep and let out your nets, plural, for a catch. This is where the phrase, what's the catch? This is where it comes from. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Notice Jesus said, let down your nets. Simon came back and said, okay, I'm going to obey. I'm going to let down my net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net, singular, was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, and that they began to sink from both the boats. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, depart from me, for I'm a man full of iniquity. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, for now on you'll catch men. So when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Number one, the multitudes pressed to hear the word. That's what we're experiencing right now. That's where we are up to this moment right now. And it's simple. Get the word out. I'm not going to say, hey, who God puts in your heart. Yeah, who God puts in your heart, make sure. But I'm telling you, that guy that takes your $2 for coffee at the Quick Trip, you tell him about revival. Man, the people at the grocery store, you tell them about revival. Man, people at the stoplight next to you saying, hey, what are you looking at? Man, you say, hey, there's revival. Man, you let people know. You get the word out. Whenever we proclaim the word, abundant life happens. I want you to live an abundant life, every single one of you. You've got to get the word out. You got to get the word about revival. You got to get the word out about what people are doing in our lives. Man, Sandy talked to somebody in the first service, and it's like, oh my gosh, what God's doing here, it is shocking. There's a guy in this church that did some business, and they said, he went to pay, and they said, just pay by PayPal. He said, I don't have PayPal. And they said, you don't have PayPal? Everybody's got PayPal. He said, well, I don't have PayPal. And so he paid, and then he checked, and he looked it up, and he did have PayPal. And there was $7,800 in his PayPal account. Oh, that just happens. Every one of you guys right now are checking your PayPal. Listen, this is where we are right now. This is not coincidence. This is the vernacular and the language of revival. And see, that's something that's not going to break in us after 60 days. It's going to be, let me tell you. Remember I said 1, 10, 100%? What if 10,000 hits this Easter? Now we change targets. We aim a little higher. Number two, they were confronted with a faith or a trust challenge. That's all this is. That's what revival is to believers. Why did Jesus only show himself to believers after the resurrection? Why? Because he presented with a challenge. He said, pretty soon I'm going to be gone. And this is going to fall upon you. Let down your nets. There are revival nets. And that's the title of this message. Number three, the second thought hit Peter. The first thought's God, right, Sandy? First thought's God. Second thought's us. First thought's God. I just got publicly corrected. Took it like a man. Did you see that? No limp, no nothing. Just whack. It's like, okay, I'm good. You call that a clip. And then there was a clip, and then Brooklyn piled on. So it's like two flags are flying right now. So the first is God, the second is the devil. And the third is you. Thank you, darling. Anybody want to take Sandy to lunch today? The second thought hit Peter. And he's thinking, this hasn't worked. We've toiled all night and caught nothing. And then his third thought was him, but at your word. But what did that second thought do? It changed it from plural nets to singular net. And I believe that's where most people live their lives. Missing out on the catch. Number four, Peter kept it in his context. At your word, I'm going to let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they both began to sink. Number five, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. This is how you do it. You wonder how God does it? Let down your nets. Don't negotiate it back in the net. Good enough is not good enough for us anymore. More than enough is what's right for us now. Man, that was really, really good. Let me repeat it. Good enough isn't good enough for us anymore. More than enough is where we are now. He said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Jesus had to be thinking, no, duh. The correlation is like the man with one talent. The man with five talents turned into 10. The man with two talents turned to 4. The man with one buried his talent. Jesus called him wicked and lazy. Peter completely underestimated the word. Don't do that. Repent of underestimating the word. Anything in your life, write this down. Anything in your life that was impossible is possible now. You know why? There's a connection between God and His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. So, by covenant, there's a connection between you and God. Until you deny Jesus. It's not a sin problem that the world has. Church has been feeding that bull loney for a long time. It's a connection problem. Sir, when you figure out there's a direct correlation and connection, you know, people say, what, do you have a direct line to heaven? Yeah. What are you saying? Because you've got the Holy, you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you pray in an unknown tongue, you're better than me? Yeah. Why? Because I'm connected. I'm not going to connect with fear. I'm not going to connect with media. I'm not going to connect with politics. I'm going to connect with God. I'm the creation. He's the creator. I'm built for connection with God. I'm not built for connection with the world. As soon as I gave my life to Jesus, I knew nothing. On a scale of 1 to 10, I wasn't even a 1. And I knew all of that was, that connection was broken in my life. First party I went to, all this temptation hit me. Because it's dope and it's booze and it's people and it's packed. And I've got standing there. And I remember standing by the door like this. 3 or 4 guys come up to me and said, Sheer, what are you doing? What's wrong? And that week at church, I heard somebody say something about this guy, Paul, who wrote a letter to the church at Corinth that said there's no temptation known to man that God won't provide an avenue of escape. So the whole time I'm at this party, I'm standing by the door. It's packed with people. It's everything in my life that I loved. Everything in my life that I valued was right there in that one room. And I stood by the door like this, and I started looking around. You know what I'm looking for? A way out. Why? That connection with that stuff in my life is gone. Because I'm connected with the Holy Spirit now. Hey, Shear, you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? No. Hey, you want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost? No. Hey, you want to get immersed? Do you want to get filled with the Spirit of God? No. Hey, Shear, you want all of God you can get? Yes. Father God, in the name of Jesus, fill him with your Spirit. And you know what I'm saying? They're just like this. I got my eyes closed. I got my hands like this. And that's before that Farley guy said, "What? I don't know what to do with my hands." And so I'm standing there just like this. And it's 1979. And I'm thinking, this is so weird. Open your eyes. You look like a freak. And on the inside, everything's going zzzz. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I just caught a buzz. This is better than cocaine. And I'm just standing there like this, and people are laughing all around me, and I'm thinking, whoever that is, I don't like them. And then I turn, and everybody's gone. And I turn, and I go get in my vehicle, and I drive the back way out of the church as an S-curve. I turn left, and I turn right. As soon as I turned right, this came out of my mouth, Andaleokosai. All the way home, you know what I did? I said, Andaleokosai. You know what I did about halfway home? I'm on Highway 47 cutting through Warrington. I turned the mirror in my vehicle like the chicks do to put their... And I turn and look, and I'm driving like this, and I'm looking at that mirror, and I'm going, Andaleokosai. Andaleokosai. I go to work the next morning. I'm early. My boss comes up on a bicycle. I worked at this big warehouse. He comes up. He says, "Shear, what are you doing here this early?" I said, "Man, I got to tell you, it's unbelievable." He said, "Have you clocked in?" I said, "No." He said, "Why are you already working?" I'm already unloading the truck that was my job that day. I'm unloading. He said, "Well, go clock in." I said, "I don't need to. I got to tell you something." He goes, "What's that?" I said, come here. He said, he was a little Hispanic guy. He was riding a bicycle with a white shirt and a tie, and I'm working on the dock. And he comes over, and he goes, what? I said, "No, get closer. He said, what? I said, Andaleokosai. He got on his bike and he left. But I'm telling you, something happened to me that day. And I'm telling you this, that experience that I had in 1979 in June is here now for me. It changed my life. You're looking at a man whose life is changing before your eyes. What are we going to do? I don't know. I invited a dear friend, Danny Duron, to come in and speak Wednesday. He said, "What do you want me to speak on?" I said, "I don't know." "How long do you want me to speak?" "I don't know. Somebody else is going to have to tell you." "What do you want to do? You're in revival." I said, "I don't know. All I'm looking for, let me just tell you, is that spark. Because everything, the conditions are ready. I'm just looking for that spark."
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.